gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened. Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. You guys know what that means. My friend, Casey Bubba, joining me on Hour 3 to talk some NFL football at BDentric on the Twitter machine. Bubba, what is going on, my man?
Not much, my friend. Thanksgiving in the books, which was good. Hope you guys had a good one out there as well. And it's bowl season. It is just chaos everywhere between, like, the coaches we're going to talk about, MLB lockout, you name it. It's just banana lands right now.
Yeah, there is so much going on. I felt, I think it was Monday, I felt unbelievably overwhelmed because we had lockout and free agency signings and all that stuff on Monday. We had so much stuff happen on Sunday, so many specifically IDP injuries and a lot of, you know, offensive injuries as well. And the head coaching changes in college football were bananas. It was crazy. I mean, so many people mad at Lincoln Riley. I love it. It's my favorite thing that's happened all football season. And look, I know I'm petty and small and all that stuff to take joy in the downfall of others and all that. But I mean, I'm a Longhorns fan. What else do I have right now?
Yeah, you got to embrace this.
I went to Austin and watched them lose to Kansas. So it's not a great year. That this is the only thing that can bring me joy in college football. That and, you know, being 12 games over 500 on my articles for this year for betting pros. But that's not bad. But I mean, Lincoln Riley, we'll just start with him, Bub. What were your thoughts of him bailing on Oklahoma to go to USC?
It was good for him, hilarious at the same time, because it was like the day before they play and he says, no, I'm not going to LSU. And that's all they asked him about. So he was honest. He was 100% honest. That's what I loved about it. He's like, yep, not going there. Gonna bury this down. And I'm like, just laugh at thinking, okay, cool. The next thing you know, but the list of things. They bought his house in Norman for over asking price. They bought him a house in LA, the private jet whenever he wants. Just the list of stuff. He got to go to USC. Yeah, of course he's going there, you idiots. Like, yeah. What are you mad about? Come on now.
Right. Come on, man. Yeah, there was a lot going on with it. So we'll talk a little bit of college football before we dive into what we want to see from the NFL games this week. And we will be right back after this In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Joined by Casey Bubba at BDentric. Bubba, tell everyone about all the great stuff and things you're doing across the interwebs right now.
Thanks, Boggs. It's the Bench with Bubba podcast. That's the most important thing. Still fantasy baseball. Don't care about the lockout because I still believe they are playing a full baseball season. So we are just going to keep chugging along as usual there. You can also check out my written content at rotoballer.com and Fantasy DJs. I'll have rankings coming out. I got DFS work and season-long stuff at Rotoballer. So tons of stuff there. Golf podcast will pick back up in late December, early January as we're waiting on stuff there. And I submitted my columns for the Black Book a couple days ago. So that is done, and that should be out on Amazon on December 15th. So go check that out, plus my line star work. There's tons of stuff. So as Bog said, just follow me on Twitter at BDentric, and you'll get all the good stuff and things over there.
So much fun. We're talking about Lincoln Riley moving from Oklahoma to USC. Let's talk about the job itself. Everyone can be upset about Lincoln Riley moving, and I understand that. I think what another factor in this move is that no one sees USC as good as Oklahoma. Now, I and you and people that are older than 25 years old all remember when USC was a outstanding program, right? They were good for many, many years. And Pete Carroll left them. They saw that the Pete Carroll era had an unbelievable amount of NCAA violations, and they had I can't remember the death penalty.
It wasn't SMU level, but it was.
Right. Yeah. They didn't make them disband or anything, but they definitely knocked them down a peg or two. I think it was 2 or 3 years of no bowls and recruiting restrictions and all kinds of stuff like that. So they suffered through all that because of the Pete Carroll era when they were really, really good. And but this is still a premium job in my eyes. Now, is it the Oklahoma job? No, I think the Oklahoma job is better, and that is as a Texas fan. You know, Oklahoma has run the Big 12 for the last 5 years since Lincoln Riley became the head coach over there. And this is the first time with Lincoln Riley that they will not be Big 12 champions. And Oklahoma is going into the SEC, so a higher profile team moving over to the best conference in college football. But USC is an outstanding job still. It's not Oklahoma, but it's a very, very good job. Obviously, there's, the pay raise is warranted because you're paying way more in taxes in California. Yep. But Bubba knows he lives in California. I think this is still a job, and USC kind of recruits itself. And even if it doesn't, we see an unbelievable amount of decommitments to Oklahoma, and they are going over to USC. So, I think Lincoln Riley did the smart thing here. It's going to be way more competitive and way tougher to play in the SEC. So, if you stick with Oklahoma and then don't win in the SEC the first couple of years, you probably get fired. You probably have to go to FAU or wherever and start your track over and, work your way back up to a job like USC. But instead, he'll just cut out the middleman, take more money, go to USC and try to build something huge over there. And now you have a much easier path to the playoff, in my opinion, too.
Yeah, keep Lane Kiffin out of this, huh? No, I was kidding. But FAU job, I got you. But it makes too much sense. Like, yes, let me go to the SEC. We're probably going to get smoked year after year because we've seen in every playoff we've ever been in, we can't hold a candle to these guys on a regular basis. So that's going to be fun. Or go west, young man, and go to Southern California, where it's beautiful at all times, and they're going to pay you whatever you want, and they're going to have a private jet, and you already said you got these commits coming right back with them. They're going to be loaded, beyond loaded there, in a much easier conference. The Pac-12, like, it's had its ups and downs, but it's been pretty down overall of late. Like, it's pretty rough sledding. And you mentioned the Pete Carroll era and all the issues they had that caused all the fines and everything. Well, kids get paid now. So if SC wants to kind of bring back the era a bit and get, Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg and company around, it's legal. It's legal now.
Yeah.
Just kind of do it right. So and Riley's young, so he could be, quote, hip with the kids compared to some of these other guys they brought in.
Right.
And like, this just has all the feels of, I don't know if we'll ever see the Pete Carroll era again, but this might be the closest we've been in a long time. And like, I heard Matt Leinart talk about it the other day. He absolutely loves this hiring, and he mentioned a lot of the things I mentioned, that it just opens the floodgates for things that used to take place back in the day that could bring these guys back to prominence. And one thing he guaranteed, because I know you probably watched it, that UCLA USC game, that UCLA beat the just bonkers out of them this week.
A lot of money on that game.
The Coliseum like wasn't even half full.
Yeah,
and that never happens. And Leinart said, I guarantee you Riley will have that place full the entire season, because these guys will, you know what they'll do is, when they win games, it's gonna be the old days, they're gonna win by like 50. Like, they're gonna beat the snot out of people with that offense.
Yeah, and like I said, it is the whole deal here is, Oklahoma has been beating the crap out of the lower tier Big 12 teams. Texas is usually up there with Oklahoma. They go back and forth. It hasn't happened the last 5 years. Obviously, Texas has had a lot of issues. Well, now you go to the Pac-12, you're going to have tough games. Oregon's going to be tough. UCLA is a good team under Chip Kelly this year. We'll see if they move. They keep that moving forward. DeBeer went over to Washington and took his quarterback from Fresno State, Jake Haener, who started at Washington.
He's good.
So that's going to be an interesting hire. Utah is usually a good team. Arizona State can be good.
See, there's about a few teams once in a while in the conference.
They're competitive.
They're not consistent. That's the thing.
But this is the thing, is that those teams every year in and year out, will be ranked high enough to give USC some good wins to move them high ranked in the standings. But they're not good enough to maybe beat you like an Auburn or a Florida or an LSU or any of those schools. So there's it's just an easier path to the playoffs, specifically if we do get playoff expansion. You're almost guaranteed to get in there.
Yeah, so, that's a lot more money for the school. So they're happy as can be.
Right, exactly. So I think this was a smart move for Lincoln Riley's career. Was it vindictive or backstabby? What, dude, I don't care. You know,
get paid, man. Go get your money.
Go get your money. Yeah. Like, you know, is it bad? Is it a bad look? Sure. And if recruits don't want to go play for him at USC because of this thing at Oklahoma, that's understandable. Yeah. Right. But
isn't that why we have the portal now, so kids can do this?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But also, see, this is what I hate. And I don't think Lincoln Riley's a hypocrite like this. But guys like Dabo Swinney, who are saying, you know, I think the portal is bad for college football, blah, 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 is the same guy that would, you know, he has said he'll never leave Clemson, and maybe he's a man of his word and he'll be there for a while. But if Oklahoma offered Dabo Swinney, if they backed up the armored truck and said, you're going to be the highest paid coach in college football if you come over to Oklahoma, he'd have a hard time saying no to that. Right.
Agreed.
So don't blame the kids for jumping ship when the coaches do it all the time. That's the hypocritical nature of college football that I cannot take. So Brian Kelly also leaves Notre Dame to go to LSU. This is a much bigger one. Not much bigger one, but a much more
controversial.
Controversial. That's a great word for it, Bob. So he bailed. He wrote a text to the entire team.
He's like in 12th grade.
Right. Wrote a text to the entire team and said, you know, I apologize for this coming out in the media and blah, all the bull crap, you know.
I'm going to go sleep with your sister. I'll see you later.
And then he flew into South Bend, had a meeting with the entire team. Most of the kids didn't show up to it.
Yeah.
And they said it lasted about 8 minutes long. And then he walked out. He didn't take questions. He didn't answer anything. He made a statement and then bounced. And now he's at LSU. So we're going to have to take a break here in a second. But your quick thoughts on that, we'll pick it back up on the other side of the break.
He's shiesty as I'll get up. Let's put it that way. He already had a bad reputation for things in the past. Mm-hmm. And this is a bad look. Like, again, go get your money. LSU, SEC, get it. Notre Dame only going to go so far, it feels like these days. It's tricky. But the way the whole thing went down, like, you at least, I know they're quote-unquote kids, they at least deserve a little respect here. Like, let's be real about this. Like, I wouldn't want my kid playing for this guy if that's how he's going to treat him.
All right. So we will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Brian Kelly and then get into the NFL slate for this weekend. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why the f*** is it called
In This League?
Because who could be scared of it?
In This League.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In This League.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League, I'm Get on the Grid, hour three with myself, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports and Casey Bubba at BBEntric on the Twitter machine. And Bub, we're talking about the landscape of college football and the coaching changes and stuff. And obviously, you know, on Sunday and Monday, there's going to be a lot more happening. There's going to be a lot more coaches fired, a lot more coaches moving. There's going to be a lot of action going on in college football. But the big ones that happened before conference championship week. And if you're wondering why we're not talking about those, because those haven't happened as the time we're recording this quite yet. So, but Brian Kelly, we talked about it. You know, I believe your word was shystery.
So, something along those lines. That was the nice way I could put it without losing money. Yes.
Right. Exactly. So shystery, you know, however you want to say it, a little backstabby towards his team and stuff like that. It just, and I think him and Lincoln Riley kind of had the same type of deal, but for whatever reason, Brian Kelly is getting the bigger end of this, probably because he has done this before in the past. Mm-hmm. I believe this is kind of the same way he left Cincinnati before, but, you know, I understand his reasoning for leaving. He's coached at Notre Dame forever. They've made the tournament a couple times. They just can't seem to get over that hump to win a national title. And when you go to LSU, I mean, look, and I don't mean to be insulting. I do mean to be a little insulting.
Yeah, I'd love to say, but, come on, you do.
Ed Orgeron ain't a great head coach, right? I think Joe Brady was very, very good. Joe Brady was very, very good, right? And Joe Burrow was good. And, you know, my overall thought on coaching, I know a lot of people won't like it's maybe 20% of what happens. You have to have good players. And Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to LSU, and they asked him his reasoning. He said, I want to coach the best players in the world. And I get that. You know, I understand it. He's making more money also. Mm-hmm. Also,
that helps. That helps.
Yep. That definitely helps a decent amount.
He looks like a guy that would like Cajun food too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. He's a big fat red faced guy. Yep. So, you know, which is ghost of Christmas future for me. So I understand it, but you know, I understand his reasoning for leaving. Did he do it the right way? Absolutely not. And he also got no one to come with him, which is very, very interesting. And you know, what we hear is the entire coaching staff, not just the kids, but the coaching staff felt betrayed too. Marcus Freeman is going to take over at Notre Dame, and they've already named him the next head coach at Notre Dame, which is very interesting.
It's big. It's big.
Dude hasn't coached one game yet as a head coach. He's 35 years old, ton of experience. I know someone posted earlier, I can't remember which account it was on Twitter that I saw. They said the best part about Freeman being a head coach now at 35 is that we can go look at his 247 scouting profile from when he was in college. So I thought that was outstanding. And, you know, there's an old story that when Nick Saban left Michigan State to go to LSU, he sent a private plane back to Michigan State and said, anyone who wants to join my staff here, here's my plane, get on it. And you're going to be a coach here. No questions asked. And no one got on. Now, Nick Saban did fine, right?
Yeah,
obviously.
I think so.
He's doing okay.
Except the whole Dolphins thing, so F him. But yes, it
went pretty well. Good. Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins fan doesn't like him, of course. Yeah. Dude, my favorite, and I know we've talked about this before on the show, so I don't mean to sidetrack us, but when he was yelling at whoever the huge fat ass was that came into camp, way overweight, and the guy started crying, like as a professional NFL player,
he
was yelling at this dude. Yeah. Yeah. He was yelling at him so hard that he started crying in public. That it was just so funny to me that this gigantic monster that could have ate Nick Saban, you know, was in his feelings so hard that he was crying about it. I mean, the guy knew he was going to get cut. I understand having emotions there, but back to Brian Kelly. I mean, it's just, you know, I think this will be a good move for LSU eventually, but it's going to have some bumps to start because he has to get a whole new coaching staff together, and it's going to be hard for people to trust him, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Trusting him is going to be the biggest issue. Getting the recruits to come there, not as bad because you can just go, hey, LSU. Like, it's going to be big because he's got that going for him, which is big to SEC. Basically, if you don't go to Bama, LSU is pretty darn close to the second option there if you're looking at it. So he's got that luxury on the table. And in all honesty, like, don't think he's leaving anytime soon unless something bad happens. So you got that going for you if you're a new recruit. The interesting thing is, though, with the Freeman deal, Twitter, the night it all happened before they hired him, there were, like, boosters, like, yelling, we'll pay whatever to keep him. Well, like, there's people that love Freeman there at Notre Dame. And that was a big, big thing. So I don't know. Don't know much about it. It is surprising. But they kept him. And then we saw Tommy Rees, former quarterback, offensive coordinator, gave a speech to the kids and goes, I am Notre Dame. I'm never leaving you guys here. So he's sticking around. They're, like you said, the coaches were ticked because they're Notre Dame guys through and through. Right. Kelly don't give a crap about that. Like, right. He'll hop everywhere. But the coaching staff are Notre Dame guys. And they're like, no, you don't do this around here. So like, it's like the old Lou Holtz. Like when Lou Holtz left to go to South Carolina, it was tough on Lou Holtz just to make that decision. Right. Because there's Notre Dame people. Kelly was never that. So yeah. That's the difference.
Yeah, there is a difference. And, you know, look, hopefully he has a successful career at LSU. I mean, I don't think he's a horrible person. He did something in a bad way. And look, there's going to be, and he knows it, he's going to be judged on that for the rest of his career. But, you know, it's pretty easy when you can lay on a bed of money. You know, it's the Woody Harrelson gif, right? Where he's crying and wiping his eyes with $100 bills, you know, yep. that's I think he'll be okay.
Kelly seems like the guy that's not going to really care what anybody has to say.
Right, exactly. If you want more talk about, you know, head coaches in college football and college football in general, you can check me out on CFP Winning Edge with my guys, Nick Allen and Xavier Trish. So just CFP Winning Edge podcast on any of your podcast providers. Check that out if you would. Bub, let's talk some NFL, man. And if you want to hear our picks, Welsh and I did the picks. But oh, dude, I haven't told you this yet. We started doing a coin flip for every single game. And the coin flip is crushing us. It is destroying.
Never right fails. Now.
It is unbelievable. And Welsh was so happy to tell me because he knew it was going to make me mad. Right. Yep. So we just put so much work into this. Right. Yep. We put so much work and it's like, oh, you were 5-7 last week. Oh, you were 7-8, whatever it is. You know, it's like, God, you know, it's kicking so hard to stay, keep your head above the water. And then, you know, the coin flip comes in and is like, I got this raft. I'm fine. You know,
It's funny you mentioned that because right after college, it was me and two buddies living in a house and we had a coin we kept on the fire mantle. And when we were watching football and we were looking at bets for the weekend, if we disagreed on a bet to put together, it was always get the coin. Whatever the coin said, it was the final verdict. And the coin was like 70% right. It was the goofiest thing ever, man. Like it was legit just the funniest thing in the world knowing a stupid coin flip. After, like you said, you think about it, you debate it, you do all this stuff. It's like,
It's infuriating, dude. Yeah. Infuriating. But Welsh and I picked on this show earlier. Bubba and I picked on Lion Star. So if you want to hear picks, please check those out. Lion Star app, is they support me and Bub with our show. Sports Grid obviously does too. So check out those if you want to hear picks. We're here to talk about what we want to see from these games. So let's start out with your game, Bub. The Miami Dolphins against the New York Giants. We're both on your Dolphins. I know you have, as a Dolphin fan, said this game feels trappy. So what do you want to see in this one?
I want to see the Dolphins put the boots to the Giants. That's what, like, I want to see them come and actually do what they're, because they are a good football team, but they're the freaking Dolphins and they find ways to find so many banana peels. Like it's Mario Kart. It's ridiculous. And we saw, like, last week Waddle was actually getting thrown the deep ball. We saw Myles Gaskin get used a ton, even in the Wildcat. They're doing things to be creative. The defense is getting better. This is a game that literally they should win by double digits. They should go in there against Mike Glennon and beat the snot out of them. And I just feel like they're going to get Dolphins this thing up and win with, like, a last-second field goal. So I want to see them put the boots to them.
Yeah, look, I want to see all that too because I'm picking the Dolphins as one of my best bets this week. Like, I really like them. I want to see Saquon touch the ball 20 times. Please, God, for the love of God, you have a backup quarterback. Your wide receivers have been hurt all year. Evan Ingram is a shadow of his former self. I don't know what's happening. Give the goddamn football to Saquon Barkley 20 times. If he can't touch the ball 20 times, put him on IR for next year. He is too good of an athlete. He's too good of a running back to be touching the ball 12 times, 15 times, 11 times, 7 times. What are you doing? You're making me look like an a-hole. Give him the football. I trust in the Saquon. I don't know why the Giants don't. It makes no sense. So that's what I want to see in that game. I want to see your boy Gaskin run some more goal line too, some Wildcat at the goal line. I love it. Eagles at the Jets. What do you want to see? The clicker go to a different channel?
Yeah, that's the plan. Like, if you have the 8 box on DirecTV, hopefully it's the 9th game. Those are the kind of options you have here. Like, you want to see Jalen Hurts and, like, Devontae Smith look a competent team, but they mess it up every week. It's like they're either really good or really bad. It's so – and then the Jets, Yeah, the Jets. So this is a bad game. I just want to see nobody get hurt.
Right. Look, my looks like Miles Sanders is going to play. So I want to see Miles Sanders.
There's nobody getting hurt. So.
tick back up. I'd love to see him tick back up. I'd love to see Zach Wilson have a successful game before the season ends out. I still believe that he can be a good NFL quarterback, but I'm also the idiot. You know, I think Josh Rosen needs another chance somewhere. So, you know, I think there are so many scenarios where you get a quarterback with a team and it just doesn't work. Ryan Tannehill is my example for this all the time. Mm-hmm. He was actually pretty good in Miami. They didn't use him right. He goes to Tennessee. He's a Pro Bowler. Needs to get back on track this year. Yep. But yeah, he needs to get it fixed. I just don't think it's working for Hurts in Philly or Zach Wilson in New York. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to the rest of the schedule for the NFL in week 13. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and smoking.
In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bach. Please check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, or inthisleague.com, where we brought you there, where we've got rankings, we've got group me rooms, we've got live streams, we've got all kinds of stuff. Welsh and I have been doing Twitch recently as well. Twitch.com/inthisleague will take you there. So please check out all the great stuff and things that we do. I'm also, if you love hearing what I do, don't know if you have the time to listen to all the things that I do, but I also have a show on Betting Pros with Joe Pisapia. I have, we also do an IDP show. I do an IDP show with Gary Davenport on In This League. I do CFB Winning Edge with Xavier and Nick. I do Line Star shows 4 week with Bubba. Check out that. So all kinds of stuff and things. A lot of me talking into this microphone annoyingly for all you people. So
it's not annoying. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. That's right. Well, hey, let's talk about a wonderful suspension. It just happened to Antonio Brown, suspended 3 games. He will not be available until December 26th against Carolina. So Tampa Bay at the Atlanta Falcons. We know that, you know, no AB in this game. You and I talked about it. I want to see Gronk go nuts. I want to see Leonard Fournette score another 4 touchdowns. I would love to see Atlanta get the ball to Kyle Pitts, Bub. I don't think it's going to happen. First, your thoughts on Antonio Brown, and then what do you want to see in this game?
Yeah, Antonio Brown's just funny, and it works out perfect for the Bucs because they already said he's going to be out multiple weeks still with his injury. So it's like, who cares? Whatever. We don't have to pay him now. Sweet. This should be a drubbing. Like, they should get it done big because the Falcons are getting worse and worse ever since Ridley left. They don't get Pitts the ball. It'd be great if they did. Like you said, I'd love it for my fantasy teams and my mental health. But it's a bad, bad football game. I like to see Godwin get back on track. I guess I'll go that route. Give me some Godwin.
Yeah, Mike Evans for me. I have Mike Evans on many a team, so let's get him another 3-touchdown game. I'd like that too, but I expect it to be Gronk. Gronk has been great the last 2 games with no AB, so we'll see. I just don't expect Atlanta to even put up a fight. The Cardinals at the Bears. We're getting Kyler Murray back. We're getting DeAndre Hopkins back. Justin Fields, I guess, is a maybe at this point, but the ribs, I mean, there's no reason to throw him out there, so I think we're just going to get a heavy dose of Dave Montgomery and overshooting Marquise Goodwin a bunch. So I think this is a Cardinals drubbing. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to see Kyler come back. Like, they rested him all these weeks to make sure he's 100% when he returned. That means we get cheat code Kyler's. That's what I'm looking for. Like, Tim Hopkins, give us the show. I don't know how the Bears could keep up if they are all healthy.
I love all these rumors of Cliff Kingsbury to Oklahoma, by the way. Like,
why would he want to leave the job he has right now?
Why would he leave the NFL? Well,
the only thing, and it makes sense, I've heard like McAfee talks about it a lot, and he had Chuck Pagano on. He has him on every Wednesday. And Pagano thinks a lot of coaches are going to go to the college. And it makes sense because look how much money they get paid. Guaranteed contracts. Guaranteed like 9-year deals that you cannot get in the NFL.
That's true. You know, you're right about that. They get a ton, but I think
the workload's different.
Yeah, and I honestly think that there's going to be legislation writ into law pretty soon that, you know, you can't be overpaying these guys so much because a lot of that is taxpayer money. So
taxpayer money, and then it takes away from other parts of the school. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but football makes more money.
Well, yeah, and well, it's the boosters, but like when you go to school and your tuition keeps going up because they bring in Lincoln Riley, like there's about 90% of that campus that probably says screw you. But
right. Yeah, exactly. Now the Vikings are on the road against the Lions. I think you and I both picked Detroit in this game.
Covering machines.
They are machines. Covering machines. They have over 500. They're 7-4 against the spread. So they've been great, but I mean, I could see Minnesota drubbing them, but they get no Dalvin Cook. How do you see this one going, or what do you want to see from it?
Alexander Mattison. That's what I want to see. I want to see him just go buck wild, and he should in a big way. At the same time, I'd like to see Jamal Williams do the same thing. That'd be great to see. And if that's the Jamal can, then we cover. That's the simple facts of it all. If Jamal can't run the football, you and I, trouble. So I want to see that take place.
Yeah, I want to see that happen too. I'd love to see Detroit get a win. I don't think it's going to happen, obviously, but I also like let's find a target. Is Josh Reynolds the guy? Can he have another good game here for them? Can we keep having TJ Hawkinson more involved so we have at least three dependable tight ends on a week to week basis instead of just two? So it's been a little ugly in Detroit. So I'd like to see some positive come out. Because they're not going to have their best player in DeAndre Swift, but that defense is so terrible. I just don't know. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson looking more and more like their first pick every single day. So let's go to, speaking of another lopsided game here, the Colts at the Texans. I think the Lions will cover. I do not have any hope for the Texans covering. I want to see JT just have another enormous day here.
Yep, it should be a JT week. It should be whatever the Colts want to do week, to the bottom line. But definitely a JT week. I expect him to try to resemble that Bills game. Let's put it that way.
How about no Carson Wentz turnovers?
Merry Christmas.
You think it's possible?
Oh, yeah. Against the Texans, yes.
I mean, the Texans, like, the one thing they do is get turnovers. Like,
that's true. Like, for fantasy purposes, they, like, produce almost every week because of a couple sacks and a turnover.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, Carson Wentz, clean game. That's what I want to see.
That would be impressive, yes.
You know what Bad Santa says about that. So the Chargers at the Bengals. What I want to see is the Chargers just go in and destroy Cincinnati. Escalator of sadness. You know, Bengals fans leave crying. Not going to happen. I think the Bengals win this one going away. It's one of, I didn't put in my best bets, but it is a good bet, I feel like, this weekend. Because the Chargers cannot stop the run, and the Bengals have been going to Joe Mixon. So it looks like it all doesn't add up very well for the Chargers here.
Yep, I want to see Joe Mixon as the running back one this week. He's been just ridiculous. If Jonathan Taylor wasn't doing what he's doing, everyone would be talking about Joe Mixon. Like, he's been that good lately. So I want to see him just continue to just go bonkers on this place. And I want to see maybe a Jamar Chase game. That'd be fun. Go over the top, beat these guys big. But perfect storm, I'd like to see like a 35-31 game. Like, I'd like to see the Chargers get back Chargers offensively win. And start to do things. No. I'd like to see a shootout. The Chargers look so lost right now. It's unbelievable. So I'm really curious.
Yeah, I mean, they put up a lot of points on Pittsburgh, but everyone is putting up points on Pittsburgh right now. So I don't know. You know, that win looked impressive on Sunday Night Football. Now doesn't look that good after last week against Cincinnati. So, and that is a disparaging Steelers fan.
It's the old before closing time, at closing time.
Right. 100%. You wake up the next day. Oh, yeah. God. Yep. I got it. This is rock bottom.
This is definitely a loss.
Yeah, exactly. This is an L. I mean, it's a W, but it's an L. Yeah. Washington on the road against the Raiders, and I would love to see Washington stay up in this game, but we've talked about this game ad nauseum here. I talked about it with you. I talked about it with the Welsh. I talked about it on ITL Fantasy Football with Pat Fitzmaurice, the interview you guys just heard. I talked about it everywhere I've been on. This scheduling quirk that has happened this week in this game, where Vegas played on Thanksgiving Day, they get 9 full days of rest in between this game. Washington played on Monday, they get 6. It's an unfair advantage for Washington. you know, something like this was going to happen here. We knew, you know, just because the way the schedule works, that this was going to happen here. You know, but at least in every other game, like the Thursday night game was, you know, two Thanksgiving Day teams. You know, Buffalo gets even one more extra day against New England. They have 10 days in between games here. And, you know, Detroit, who cares? They play Minnesota. You know, it's just, it's Chicago also, once again, who cares? They're not good. But this game is just a weird quirk. I don't see how Washington wins this game. I think Vegas, with the three more days of rest and recovery and prep, it's hard to beat three extra days in the NFL. I just think Vegas wins this one going away. So I'd love to see Washington stay in it. I'd love to see McLaurin, you know, get more involved. I'd love to see Josh Jacobs get in the end zone a couple times. We're big on playing Foster Moreau in DFS this week because he's super cheap. So I would love to see a high scoring game. I just think we get a lopsided Raiders win though.
Yeah, I want the shootout. I want to see Antonio Gibson. Ever since the bye week, he's had a massive workload. That's been great to see. And then last week, he got 7 targets, which was huge. McKissick's banged up, so hopefully he gets more targets in the passing game, because obviously that's what he can do at Memphis. So I would love to see Gibson continue to his role to grow in this offense. And then the Raiders, yeah, like on paper, this is a game the Raiders should do very well in, but we've seen the Raiders screw things like this up many a time. So hope it's a shootout and the Raiders should win.
The Jags are at the Rams. This is a must-win game for the LA Rams. Had a horrific November, and they got to get back on track if they're going to make the playoffs. And, you know, this is a lot of people. We talked about Stafford having buzz for MVP before the season started. And right now, you know, the Rams are sitting at 7-4. They're 2 games behind Arizona. You know, the Niners are hot on their heels right now. We know the Seahawks have kind of fallen off, but I mean, they're 2 games better than Atlanta, 2 games better than Minnesota, 2 games better than Washington. You would rather be in this category of, you know, the Cardinals, the Bucks, the Packers, and the Cowboys, even though they have the same record as the Cowboys, I wouldn't put them in that group.
No,
I think those division winners are far and away the best teams in the NFC right now. The Rams can do it, but I think this is a must win. So I think they just put the absolute boots to the Jags, and because they're at home, I think they keep the foot on the gas most of the way through this game. And I see a lot of fantasy points in the Rams' future here.
Yeah, I think they need to blow them out. And it's not like you get blowout points like you do in college football. I think it's a mental thing for them. Let's get back to being this explosive offense that dominates football teams. Get Stafford some confidence with OBJ. Get Henderson some use, but maybe get him some rest at the same time if he's banged up like you say he is. Get Higbee back involved. This is a great game. You can play like a 7-on-7 drill. Get some players some action. Get them feeling good. Take it to Urban Meyer and the Jags. Make him wish he's at his chop house. Like, let's go.
look, the Ravens and the Steelers game, I want to see the end of it. So I just want to see this game go all the way through. I'm glad it's an afternoon game and I get to watch the Red Zone channel for those early games there. But I'm not looking forward to this one. I want to see the Steelers play with some pride. I just don't know if they have the players on the roster to do that right now. So it's probably going to be a lopsided game in the Ravens' favor the way I see it, watching the Steelers play the last 3 weeks, Bob.
I want to see the Steelers, Ben and Claypool and Deontay and Freiermuth explode in the passing game to try to keep up in this game. That's what I want to see. I want to see some sneaky surprises here. Like, Ben looks horrible. We don't have to talk about it too much, but the weapons still look good. So let's make a few plays. Let's make this game interesting. I think it's closer than you think. I think you're being that pessimistic Steelers fan, and I'm hoping for a good one.
Now, I mean, I hope you're right. I don't think you are. I think the Ravens
divisional game, baby, divisional game.
But you know. I think I'm right. We'll see. Niners on the road at Seattle. I'd love to see Seattle get back to playing some decent football, but I don't think we can expect that from them because Russell just doesn't look right. For the Niners, lots of Eli Mitchell. I want to see that. I want to see Kittle get back involved. I want to see Ayuk score a touchdown in this game. I want to see this Niners offense run without Debo because he's their best player right now and he's out. So that's what I want to see. What do you want to see in this game?
Yeah, same thing. Biggest thing, Elijah Mitchell, get him like 25 carries. I want to see him just run all over. He should have 150 plus.
Yeah, he should have a lot of yards against the Seattle defense. And I just don't know if we're going to get it here. Maybe let's get the Sunday night game in right before we leave. Denver at Kansas City. I'd love to see Denver throw the ball deep. Don't think it's going to happen. I think Kansas City probably rolls in this one. I'll take Denver against the spread because they seem to make this game close. What do you think in this one?
I want to see that Chiefs defense that's been improving, continue to improve off the bye week. And I want to see off the bye week, this offense come out and like massive W, massive old school Chiefs W.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. We're going to take a break. When we come back, that last 3 minute, we will talk about this Monday night game of New England at Buffalo. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In this league.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're talking what we want to see out of these games this week, 13 in the NFL. We've done all of them except for this Monday night game, which is probably the best game of the week here, Bob. The Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. What do you want to see here?
I want to see the Bills beat the snot out of the Patriots. That's what I want to see them step up on primetime and go, hey, we still are the people that, you know, preseason everyone wanted the Bills to win the East. We still are the team. I'm scared just because the Patriots are looking really good, but I think Mac has a hiccup, so I want to see this. Yeah. I want to see Buffalo do damage.
Samesies. I think the same thing. It's a team that Buffalo has better prep time here, coming off the Thanksgiving Day game. New England is a very, very good team, but I think you have a rookie quarterback here going in a hostile environment on the road in December. I think this is going to be a tough game for Mac Jones to win. So for me, I would really, really like to see Buffalo win this game. I'd also love to see them pick a back. If you like Breida, then give him the ball 20 times. We already saw Zach Moss get benched, but then they brought in Breida and screwed it back up just like it was before. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see Singletary get some action. I love to see Greg Rousseau get to Mac Jones, too. That's what I'm looking forward to
happy.
In this game. Absolutely. So we will see if that happens. But that is it. Thank you guys so much for listening to the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for myself, at BD Entrick for Bub, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. And we'll be back next week. And look, I hope you guys are winning some money out there and you have a great holiday season. Whatever it is, got a little hate mail this week, but we're going to move on past it. Yeah, Bub, what do you got?
Troll's
going to
troll. Troll's going to troll.
He's going to troll. It's just, Welsh and I talked about it earlier. Don't put money in that you can't afford to lose. So,
and don't be a bag of S.
Also that. So I didn't say it, but
I didn't either.
I meant it. So that'll do it for us. We will see you guys next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.